Hello, and welcome to the Old Time Radio Hour. I'm your host, Justine Ward, and each week we bring you a classic show from radio's golden age. This week, we continue our comedy series with the delightful comedy of Eve Arden as Our Miss Brooks. On radio and later on television, Miss Brooks was America's favorite school teacher. We have selected two very funny episodes for your listening pleasure this week. A visit by the heads of the State Board of Education has the whole school mixed up, and it is hilarious. Enjoy Our Miss Brooks, School Board, first broadcast September 11th, 1949 on CBS.
Luster Cream Shampoo for soft, glamorous, caressable hair, and Colgate Dental Cream to clean your breath while you clean your teeth and help stop tooth decay bring you Our Miss Brooks, starring Eve Arden. And now, another comedy episode of Our Miss Brooks, written and directed by Al Lewis. Many teachers returning from their vacations, well-tanned and rested, are looking forward to resuming their duties tomorrow morning. But Our Miss Brooks, who spent most of her vacation time teaching English at Madison High Summer School, doesn't share their enthusiasm for getting back into harness.
No, I've been wearing the thing so long, I'm saddle sore. Of course, when summer school ended in August, I did make up my mind to get a complete change of scenery. So I took the money I received, added it to my savings from the regular school term, and by careful budgeting, was able to spend 3 glorious weeks in the furnished room I rent all year round. But last Thursday morning at breakfast, my landlady, Mrs. Davis, and I were discussing my plans for a Friday picnic.
But why must the picnic be tomorrow, Connie? Why not Saturday or Sunday?
Because, Mrs. Davis, tomorrow is the last weekday I'll have off until Thanksgiving. And if our beloved principal could get away with it, he'd change that to a Sunday.
Oh, Mr. Conklin isn't that bad, Connie. He likes a good time as well as the next fellow.
He likes a good time better than the next fellow. But if the next fellow happens to be a teacher, Mr. Conklin will stop having a good time to give the teacher who's having a good time a bad time. From a song by Rudy Valley.
Oh. Is Mr. Boynton taking you to the picnic, Connie?
Yes, Mrs. Davis. I accepted my invitation on the phone last night. It'll be good to see Madison's bashful biologist again. He just got back from a 3-week vacation, you know.
Who will all is going on this picnic, Connie?
Harriet Conklin and Walter Denton all. It was really Walter's idea. The poor kid can't spend any time with Harriet without Mr. Conklin constantly barking at him.
Mr. Conklin isn't very fond of Walter, is he?
Oh, it's not that Mr. Conklin isn't fond of Walter. He hates him. But it ought to be a nice outing for all of us. Oh, that's the door, isn't it?
No, that's the bell. The door makes more of a creaking sound.
Well, I'll answer it. I need the exercise.
If you want me, I'll be in the backyard, Connie. I've got to prune the fig tree.
Why, it's Mr. Boynton. Come in.
Good morning, Miss Brooks. I brought this basket over for the picnic tomorrow. Do you think it's big enough for us?
I don't know, but it might be fun trying it on. Oh, you mean for sandwiches. Well, it seems sort of small, but the basket can wait. I want to know all about your vacation. Where you went, what you did.
Well, I just went up to Eagle Springs, had a beautiful cabin, did a little fishing, played some golf and tennis. I did a little rowing, too, and at night they had a campfire when we broiled or barbecued steaks. And after that, there was usually a movie or some entertainment at the casino. That's all there was to it.
You should have asked for your money back. Did you do any dancing at the casino, Mr. Boynton?
Dancing? Yes, I did dance a little.
With whom?
Oh. I didn't dance with anyone, just by myself. You know, I'd get off in a... Well, I'd get off in a dark corner of the casino and sort of waltz around in time to the music.
That's nice that way. If you get bored, you can always cut in on yourself. how was your trip back to town?
Oh, very pleasant, although the train was quite crowded. Guess who came into town on the same train with me?
Who?
I'll take a guess.
Edgar Bergen and Charlie McCarthy.
No.
Charlie McCarthy alone.
No, Miss Brooks. No, it was Wallace T. Hewitt.
It was?
Yes, ma'am.
Wallace T. Hewitt himself?
That's right.
Gosh! Who's Wallace T. Hewitt?
I'm surprised at you, Miss Brooks. I thought every teacher knew the chairman of the State Board of Education.
Oh, it was that Wallace T. Hewitt. Did you ask him for a raise, Mr. Boynton?
I know you're joking, Miss Brooks. I didn't speak to Mr. Hewitt at all. As soon as we landed in the depot, he was surrounded by reporters. Well, he's a power in educational circles in this state. It was all I could do to get a glimpse of him.
What does he look like?
Oh, he's quite short, almost completely bald, with a little wispy mustache and small beady eyes behind thick glasses.
Good-looking boy.
And although he's very stout, he moves along rather briskly, like a penguin. I wonder what he's doing in town.
Maybe he's shopping around for a new tuxedo. But let's not talk about the Board of Education, Mr. Boynton. Time enough for that when school opens next Monday.
You're right, Miss Brooks. You haven't had a real vacation this summer. This picnic tomorrow ought to be...
Oh, it's the phone. Excuse me, Mr. Boynton. Hello?
Hello, Miss Brooks. This is Mr. Conklin.
Oh, how are you, Mr. Conklin?
You'll have to dispense with the amenities, Miss Brooks. I'm calling to inform you that Madison High School will open tomorrow morning at the usual time.
Tomorrow? But school doesn't start till Monday.
I said, Miss Brooks, that our school opens tomorrow.
But, Mr. Conklin, Monday is September 12th. All schools open on the 12th.
I'm beginning to feel as if I were talking into a thermos bottle. Miss Brooks, just a short time ago, I received a telephone call from Mr. Wallace T. Hewitt, chairman of the State Board of Education. Although I've never met Mr. Hewitt, he notified me of his intention to visit my office in the morning. Naturally, I expect a 100% turnout from faculty and student body alike to help me welcome this most distinguished visitor.
But, Mr. Conklin, we've got a picnic planned for tomorrow. In a few minutes, Walter Denton's going to take me shopping.
Walter Denton? Please, Miss Brooks. I've asked you before, and I beseech you again. Don't mention that name so soon after breakfast. What my daughter sees in that lame-brained dunce is more than I can... No, but there's no time for that now. Until tomorrow morning, Miss Brooks, it's au revoir.
Au revoir to you, Mr. Conklin. Well, there goes our picnic, Mr. Boynton.
Where?
Down the drain, I'm afraid. Your precious Mr. Hewitt has decided to honor our fair school with a visit tomorrow morning. So Mr. Conklin's ordered us all back to greet him.
Tomorrow? But school doesn't open officially until Monday.
Believe me, Mr. Boynton, I delivered that message with all the feeling my parched little throat could muster. But the answer's the same. It's the Bastille at dawn. Well, it can't be Walter Denton.
Why not? Hiya, Miss Brooks. I just saw Mr. Boynton on the corner.
I know, he just left. Walter, I've got some sterling news for you.
Your news will have to wait, Miss Brooks. I've got the bulletin of all time.
Oh, you have?
Sure, listen to this. You know how Mr. Conklin hates me.
Well, I wouldn't call him a fan, Walter.
Yeah, I know. But even so, when he hears about anybody having a good time, even me, he sometimes tries to muscle in. So, I thought up a way to keep him from ruining our picnic tomorrow if he decides to horn in at the last minute.
But Walter, about tomorrow...
Please, Miss Brooks, let me finish. About an hour ago, I called old Marblehead on the phone, Mr. Conklin. And I put a handkerchief over the mouthpiece and disguised my voice. Oh, you should have been there, Miss Brooks. It was a riot.
Well, what did you say, Walter?
I said, get a load of this, Miss Brooks. I said, hello, Conklin. And he said,
yes, this is Osgood Conklin.
Who is this? And then I said, oops, this will kill you, Miss Brooks.
Well, let's not make it such a slow death. Who did you say it was?
I said,
Conklin, this is Wallace T. Hewitt.
Wallace T.? Oh, no.
Yeah. And then I said, I'm inspecting some of the schools in this area, and I'll expect to see you in your office at 9:00 tomorrow morning. And then while he was falling all over himself to be nice to me. I hung up. Is that a rib or is that a rib?
That, Walter, is the greatest rib that's been pulled since Adam was a bachelor.
Our Miss Brooks, starring Eve Arden, will continue in just a moment, but first here is Vern Smith.
Now, dental science reveals a startling discovery in the fight against tooth decay. Proof that always using Colgate dental cream right after eating helps stop tooth decay before it starts.
Continuous research, hundreds of case histories, makes this the most important news in dental history.
Eminent dental authorities supervised hundreds of college men and women for over a year. One group always brushed their teeth with Colgate's right after eating. The other followed their usual dental care.
And here are the amazing results. The group using Colgate dental cream as directed showed a startling reduction in average number of cavities, far less tooth decay. The other group developed new cavities at a much higher rate. No other dentifrice offers proof of these results.
And Colgate's contains all the necessary ingredients, including an exclusive patented ingredient, for effective daily dental care. No risk of irritation to tissues and gums.
And no change in flavor, foam, or cleansing action. As always, Colgate's cleans your breath while it cleans your teeth.
The Colgate's now at your dealers is the same formula used in the test. Always use Colgate dental cream right after eating to help prevent new cavities, help stop tooth decay before it starts.
Well, I spent most of Thursday night trying to figure how to keep Walter Denton from being expelled and still go on our picnic Friday instead of waiting around school for a Mr. Hewitt who would never arrive. About 4 a.m, an idea was born, and a thoroughbred infant it was, out of desperation by panic. A half hour before school was due to convene, found me heading for Marty's Malt Shop, a student hangout across the street from Madison. As I entered, I noticed Stretch Snodgrass, known to his chums as Athlete's Foot of the Brain, seated at a table by himself. Good morning, Stretch. Am I intruding?
Well, no, Miss Brooks. You don't look no different to me than you always do.
Thank you, I think. Mind if I sit down and have a cup of coffee?
Not at all. Here, I'll take this off the seat for you. It's my football.
Yes, I know. That's the only thing you've passed all year. But, Stretch, there's something you've just got to understand.
Yeah, there must be something.
Now I'm not so sure. But it seems that a very dear mutual friend of ours engineered a rather foolish prank yesterday. And if the facts ever leak out, he'll be expelled from Madison. You and I, Stretch, hold his scholastic future in our hands. Now, how good are you at keeping a secret?
Oh, I'm very good, Miss Brooks. Like yesterday when my pal Walter Denton imitated Mr. Hewitt's voice on the phone and told old Marblehead that... Oh, Mr. Conklin, he better hightail it over to school today. After Walter done it, he made me promise to keep it a secret. So that's why I won't tell nobody. Not a word of it.
Not a word of what, Stretch?
Well, pal Walter told... Oh, no, you don't. You can't trick me into spilling anything. You couldn't beat it out of me with a rubber hose.
Stout fella. But Stretch, the entire faculty and student body have to be in school this morning only because Walter imitated Mr. Hewitt's voice on the phone and told old Marblehead, Mr. Conklin, to hightail it over to school today.
Gosh, how did you know that, Miss Brooks?
There must have been a leak. But I've got an idea that can get us all out of here. Now, will you help me, Stretch?
Sure, Miss Brooks. What can I do?
Well, you can see to it that Mr. Hewitt arrives nice and early so we can all leave the same way.
But I don't know Mr. Hewitt.
And Mr. Conklin doesn't either. Now, listen closely, Stretch. You know the little park right across from the school library?
Library?
Where all the books are kept.
Books?
It's on the way to the football field.
Oh, that little park. Sure, I know where that is. There's always a bunch of old Delericks sitting around there.
Old what?
Delericks, you know, bums, sort of.
Oh, now we're getting somewhere. Stretch, I want you to get one of those men and bring him to me. But be sure you get a fat one with glasses who has a little mustache. Mr. Conklin might have seen a picture of Mr. Hewitt somewhere.
Well, that shouldn't be too tough. A lot of them look like that. But Miss Brooks, supposing he don't want to come.
He's got to come. Tell him he'll be helping a human being in distress. Tell him anything, but bring him directly to me.
Well, I don't get him, Miss Brooks. Why should
A quiet we... stretch. Harriet Conklin's coming over. Now, whatever you do, don't mention a word of this.
Good morning, Miss Brooks.
Well, shut Stretch's mouth if it isn't Harriet Conklin. How are you, Harriet?
Oh, I feel wonderful, Miss Brooks. Hiya, Stretch. What do you know?
You couldn't beat it out of me with a rubber hose.
What's wrong with Stretch, Miss Brooks?
He ain't talking. Now, Stretch, you'd better go over to the park and do what I told you. I'll explain to Harriet and get her oath of allegiance on our way over to school.
All right, Miss Brooks.
Remember now, get a small, chubby one with glasses.
I'll remember. See you later, Harriet.
What's this all about, Miss Brooks? What did you send Stretch after?
A penguin, Harriet.
With glasses?
Why not? A penguin's entitled to see where he's going, isn't he?
I don't understand this. Boy, of all the people in the park, why did you have to pick on me?
Because you were so nice and round.
Yeah.
I mean, like I told you, mister, it's a matter of helping out a human being. Besides, you wasn't doing nothing in the park.
I wasn't doing nothing? Who teaches you English, boy?
Miss Brooks. Well, there she is waiting on the steps. I'll introduce her to you in a minute. Well, what's your name?
My name is Hewitt. Wallace T. Hewitt, Chairman of the State Board of Education.
Excuse me a minute.
Where are you going?
I better go back to the park and get another one.
Nonsense. You've aroused my curiosity now, and I'm going to see this thing through.
Hello, Stretch.
Miss Brooks, this is Mr. Hewitt.
Oh, it certainly is. Oh, he's perfect, Stretch.
Yeah. Perfect.
But, Miss Brooks, this really is Mr. Hewitt.
I'll say, from the top of his shiny skull to the tips of his waddly little toes.
Now, see here, young woman. I demand to know what this is all about. First, I'm sitting in the park reading.
And... The want ads can wait, Chubby. I've got a job for you.
A job? For me?
It'll only take a few minutes, and I'll see that you get a dollar for your trouble.
A dollar?
This kid is really anxious. We could probably have swung it for a quarter. Now, listen carefully, Hewitt. I'll be calling you by that name from here in, so we might as well get used to it. All you've got to do is convince Mr. Conklin, our principal, that you're Mr. Hewitt, chairman of the State Board of Education.
I see. And do you think my card might help to convince him? I've got some in my wallet here. There we are. The cards are right in this little compartment. See where my name is printed in gold letters?
Wallace T. Hewitt. Quick, Stretch, call a cop. This bum has just murdered Mr. Hewitt.
Murdered? Now, look here, young woman. This has gone far enough. Fortunately, I'm just proud enough of my position to carry with me a newspaper photo which appeared last month. Here, look at it.
Wallace T. Hewitt, chairman of the State Board of Education. Stretch, it's him.
Sure, it's him.
Of course it's him. It's me.
Why, Mr. Hewitt, we knew it was you all the time.
You did, huh? But you said I waddled and that I murdered myself.
Well, that was all part of the joke, Mr. Hewitt. You see, one of our teachers came back on the same train with you from Eagle Springs. You didn't see him, of course, but he couldn't help observing what a jovial, good-natured, jolly sort of person you are.
Well, I do have quite a good sense of humor about some things. But another explanation seems in order, Miss Brooks. Why are so many students roaming about the campus? School doesn't start until next Monday.
Well, that's because our principal, Mr. Conklin, wanted us to get a head start.
Really? Well, that is unusual. I'd like to meet Mr. Conklin while I'm here.
Oh, no, you wouldn't. He's not in on the rib.
Huh?
I mean, that is, with such a distinguished visitor, I'd like to tell him you're here first. You know, give him a chance to run a comb through his tie and fix the knot in his hair.
But, my dear Miss Brooks...
Oh, please, Mr. Hewitt, take a little stroll around the grounds, and I'll meet you at Mr. Conklin's office in a few minutes.
Well, if it'll make you feel more comfortable to announce me. But how will I find Mr. Conklin's office?
You can't miss it. When you come back to the main building, you'll see a door with a gray-haired English teacher in a straitjacket in front of it. Just push me aside and walk right in.
Daddy, told me he'd be right over here giving the athletic field a last-minute check. Have you seen him, Walter?
No, Harriet, but he might be in the gym. Gosh, I'm nervous as a kitten. If your dad finds out we're hiring a hobo to impersonate Mr. Hewitt, we'll be boiled in oil.
Oh, he won't find out. We'll just have to be real cagey about it. I wonder where Daddy could be.
I'm right here behind the handball court, my dear.
Mr. Conklin!
So I'm to be duped, am I? By an impersonator, eh? A hobo, eh?
But, Miss Brooks, I don't understand. Why am I sitting behind Mr. Conklin's desk?
Because, Mr. Boynton, with the real Mr. Hewitt on our hands, we've got to have a fake Mr. Conklin. And outside of Mr. Conklin, you're the best fake I could find.
But he might come back to his office.
Well, we've just got to take that chance. If Mr. Hewitt talks to Mr. Conklin and the truth about that phone call comes out, Walter Denton will be expelled.
Oh, gee, I wouldn't want that to happen.
Well, then we've got to see this thing through. Mr. Hewitt should be finishing his tour of the school. Come in!
Well, Miss Brooks, I'm back.
Good. Mr. Conklin here has just been perishing to meet you. Mr. Conklin, may I present Mr. Hewitt?
How do you do, sir?
So you're Mr. Conklin. Tell me, how long have you been the principal of Madison High School?
Not long at all.
I imagined as much. You're a very young man to be holding this high office, Mr. Conklin. And I might add, a very handsome young man.
Isn't he a doll? And he's so industrious, Mr. Hewitt. You won't catch many principals jumping the gun like this. Coming to school ahead of time.
Hey, that's very true, Miss Brooks. I'll certainly mention this in my report to the board. I'm returning to the state capital in a couple of hours, you know.
Oh, really? Then we wouldn't want you to miss your train, sir. Now that we've met you, maybe we ought to let you get out.
But fast. I'll show you the shortcut to the bus line if you'll just follow me out this door. And we go.
Going somewhere, Miss Brooks?
Not me. I'm rooted to the spot.
Good. And this, I presume, is Mr. Hewitt?
That's right.
Mr. Wallace T. Hewitt?
Yes.
Chairman of the State Board of Education?
That is correct.
Get out of this office, you hobo!
Hobo!
Pack up your bindle and hit the road!
Right. This has gone far enough. Mr. Conklin, did you hear what I just heard?
Of course I heard.
Miss Brooks, what's the meaning of this?
Something wrong, Mr. Hewitt?
Wrong? This hobo just called me a hobo. Do I have to show everyone in town my picture in the paper to prove I'm not a vagrant? Here, take a look at this, you oaf.
Wallace T. Hewitt, chairman of the state.
Dad, it's you. Yes, it's me. And I'm going to see that the board hears of this outrageous affair. Now, what's your name?
My name?
Yes, your name.
My name is Denton, Walter Denton.
I presume you're a member of the Madison High faculty?
Faculty? No, sir, I'm a student here.
A student? You?
G.I. Bill of Rights. He's making up some credits so he can get into grade school.
Hi, Miss Brooks. The door was open, so I just... Oh, Mr. Conklin.
Yes?
This is Mr. Hewitt. Mr. Wallace T. Hewitt.
It's no use. The jig's up, Miss Brooks. Mr. Conklin knows he's just a hobo.
Again, hobo. What is your name, young man?
Me?
That's my pal, Mr. Hewitt. One of my dearest buddies here at school. Stretch Snodgrass. Take hands with Mr. Hewitt, Stretch.
Stretch?
Somebody mention my name?
Not yet, but we will in a minute. Mr. Hewitt, this is the boy who asked you to join us while you were sitting in the park. Meet Philip Boynton.
Yeah, I don't think I'm quite following the goings-on here today, but I've just got to make that train. Let me tell you one thing, though, Mr. Conklin.
Yes?
Will you please stop butting in, Denton?
Sorry, Mr. Hewitt.
They've been with the Glee Club too long.
I just want you to know that in spite of my sense of humor, I consider this incident a grievous insult to a man in my position, and I'm going to take action immediately.
But, Mr. Hewitt, what action are you going to take?
I'm going to see to it that a certain Walter Denton is expelled from this school. Expelled?
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 Boy, I'm glad I'm not in their shoes.
Young woman, as the instigator of this degrading practical joke, you shall be as severely penalized as the state board permits, and I shall take great pleasure in recommending your immediate suspension without pay. Now, Miss Brooks, what do you say to that? Well, Miss Brooks?
Miss Brooks? Who's Miss Brooks?
What? Well, if you're not Miss Brooks, then who are you?
Mr. Hewitt, shake hands with Sam, the janitor.
As our Miss Brooks returns in just a moment, but first...
Dream girl, beautiful luster cream girl.
Tonight, yes, tonight, show him how much lovelier your hair can look after a luster cream shampoo. Luster cream, world's finest shampoo. No other shampoo in the world gives Kay Dumit's magic blend of secret ingredients plus gentle lanolin. Not a soap, not a liquid... Luster Cream Shampoo leaves hair three ways lovelier. Fragrantly clean, free of loose dandruff, glistening with sheen, soft, manageable. Even in hardest water, Luster Cream lathers instantly. No special rinse needed after a Luster Cream Shampoo. So gentle, Luster Cream is wonderful even for children's hair. Tonight? Yes, tonight, try Luster Cream Shampoo.
Dream girl, beautiful luster cream girl, you owe your crowning glory to a luster cream shampoo.
And now, once again, here is our Miss Brooks.
Well, what started out as a pretty dangerous practical joke soon proved to be nothing more than a clean-cut, wholesome shambles. But by mass pleading and a pint of quickly generated tears, we finally prevailed upon Mr. Hewitt to suspend sentence. And at long last, we were off on our picnic. In less than an hour, Mr. Boynton had driven us about 30 miles from town.
Well, it took us a little while, but we can still have some fun.
Sure we can. It's a beautiful day and the ride's just swell. Don't you think so, Miss Brooks?
I certainly do, Walter. Your car drives beautifully, Mr. Boynton. So much smoother than mine.
Oh, thanks, Miss Brooks.
But you know something? I can't help wishing we had taken my car instead.
Why, Miss Brooks?
Because that's where I left the picnic basket.
Next week, tune into another Our Miss Brooks show brought to you by Luster Cream Shampoo for soft, glamorous, caressable hair and Colgate Dental Cream to clean your breath while you clean your teeth and help stop tooth decay. Our Miss Brooks, starring Eve Arden, is produced by Larry Burns, written and directed by Al Lewis, with music by Wilbur Hatch.
Doctors prove you too may have a lovelier complexion in 14 days. Yes, 36 leading skin specialists proved, in tests on 1,285 different women, that a new method of cleansing with palm olive soap, using nothing but palm olive, brought new complexion beauty to two women out of three. Just wash your face three times daily with palm olive soap, each time for 60 seconds, massaging palm olive's beauty lather onto your skin. Then rinse. So start your palm olive facials today. See what palm olive soap can do for your complexion in just 14 days.
Here is an urgent message from the National Foundation for Infantile Paralysis. March of Dimes funds for the care of polio victims will be used up by September 30th, 19 days from now. It will take over $14 million to continue this care. So don't abandon America's children. Send your dimes and dollars to polio, care of your local post office now.
For mystery liberally sprinkled with laughs, listen to Mr. and Mrs. North, the exciting, fun-packed adventures of an amateur detective and his beautiful wife. Tune in Tuesday evening over most of these same stations. And be with us again next week at this same time for another comedy episode of Our Miss Brooks. Bob Lamond speaking. This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.
You are listening to the Old Time Radio Hour, broadcast each week over the World Wide Web, with your host, Justine Ward. Next, we have another authority figure coming to visit Madison High. This is set on a Friday the 13th with two stray black cats complicating matters. A practical joke by one of the students will keep you laughing at Our Miss Brooks in Cure That Habit, first broadcast January 15th, 1950 on CBS.
Colgate Dental Cream to clean your breath while you clean your teeth and help stop tooth decay, and Luster Cream Shampoo for soft, glamorous, caressable hair bring you Our Miss Brooks, starring Eve Arden. It's time once again for another comedy episode of Our Miss Brooks, written by Al Lewis. Well, last Friday fell on the 13th of the month, a day of caution for the superstitious. But to Our Miss Brooks, who teaches English at Madison High School, it didn't mean a thing.
No, indeed. Even when my landlady told me at breakfast that our cat Minerva came home with two black kittens, I just laughed and said, Mrs. Davis, no.
Oh, yes. They've just had our last drop of milk.
But Minerva and I were always so friendly. She didn't say a word to me about this.
Oh, the kittens aren't Minerva's. I don't know where they belong. All I know is that we can't afford to keep them. It would mean two more mouths to feed.
You're right, Mrs. Davis. We've got enough trouble feeding the mouths we've got.
Say, I've got an idea. We could leave them in the Snodgrass Pet Shop until we located the owners. Stretch's father has all sorts of things in his plate.
That's true. He even has Stretch.
Good old Stretch. That boy certainly is a fine athlete.
Yes, he is. Now, if there was only some way we could find to exercise his brain. Don't worry about the kittens, Mrs. Davis. I'll have Walter Denton drop them off at the pet shop on our way to school this morning.
Good. And one more thing, Connie. Would you deliver this jar to Mr. Conklin when you get to school?
Certainly, Mrs. Davis. What have you cooked up for our beloved principal?
It's a secret concoction, Connie. My own recipe. It never fails.
Good. How long does it take to work, and will they find out what's in it at the autopsy?
It's just a remedy for hiccups, Connie. It contains nothing but juniper juice, oil of cloves, a dash of vinegar, some vanilla extract, a spoonful of baking soda...
The rest after breakfast.
Well, that's about all there is to it. But it's very good. Mrs. Conklin says it's just a nervous reaction. She called last night and told me he got the hiccups yesterday, just a few minutes after he found out that the superintendent of schools is visiting him this afternoon.
Mr. Michael? Why should he give Mr. Conklin the hiccups?
Well, there's a new term starting in February, and it seems that Mr. Michaels wants to chat with Osgood about the way he's running Madison.
You mean if Mr. Michaels finds fault with something, there's a chance that Mr. Conklin may not be... Oh, now cut it out, Connie. You're too old to live in a dream world. Oh, that's Walter Denton. Come in, Walter. Oh,
I'd better go into the kitchen. I've got to clean those dishes I used for the kittens.
Why don't you let Minerva do the dishes? They're her friends.
Hi, Miss Brooks. Did I hear Mrs. Davis mention kittens?
Just some transient acquaintances, Walter. We're going to drop them off at Stretch's pet shop on the way to school.
Oh, swell. Stretch will get a big kick out of them. He loves animals. All kinds of animals.
I know. You've been friends for years, haven't you? I hope you're not superstitious, Walter, but these are both black cats, and today is Friday the 13th.
Oh, that doesn't bother me, Miss Brooks. This is going to be a red-letter day in my memory. The day when the results of careful planning should be brought to fruition.
Translation?
Well, you've heard of Cure That Habit Incorporated, haven't you?
You mean the outfit that helps people overcome alcoholism?
Yes, ma'am. They got a big ad in the papers. You know, perhaps you or someone near and dear to you is a victim of this dread disease. Send for our instructive literature telling how you, too, can be cured. Well, day before yesterday, I sent for it.
You, Walter? I always thought you were strictly a two-coke-a-day man.
Oh, well, I didn't sign my name and address to the request. I printed the name of someone very near and dear to me.
Who?
Osgood Conklin.
Walter, Mr. Conklin doesn't drink. Why, even on New Year's Eve, he just had fruit punch. His proudest boast is that he's a teetotaler.
Well, that's a humor of it. When he gets all this stuff in the mail, he'll think that somebody somewhere doesn't believe that he doesn't drink. That thought alone should turn him purple.
Well, it'll probably be quite a picturesque spectacle. But I still don't think it's right, Walter. Does Harriet know about this rib?
Of course not. She's his daughter. She likes Mr. Conklin.
Well, she's bright in other ways. Now, come on, Walter. We've got to get started for school if we're going to drop those kittens off.
Okay, Miss Brooks. One thing before we go. Everything I've told you today is strictly confidential. And not that I'm asking for an oath of secrecy or anything. I know that I couldn't possibly feel the admiration and respect for you that I do feel if I thought you'd rat on me. I mean, betray my confidence about this joke that I'm pulling.
Well, don't worry, Walter. Your secret is safe with me.
Miss Brooks, that statement makes me feel warm all over.
Really?
Sure. In a dangerous practical joke like this, it's great to know that somebody else is in it with you up to her ears.
Sorry to have kept you waiting, Mr. Chalmers. What can I do for you?
Well, Mr. Michaels, as superintendent of schools, you're acquainted, no doubt, with the principal of Madison High School.
Oh, yes, that's Osgood Conklin. Matter of fact, I'm going to see him this afternoon.
Then I'd very much like to go with you. You see, Mr. Michaels, my son attends Madison High, and I'm very anxious to find out the meaning of this postcard which arrived at my office this morning.
Postcard?
Yes, sir. I'll read it to you. It's addressed to Cure That Habit, Incorporated. That's my firm, Mr. Michaels. And it says, kindly send me all your literature. I am determined once and for all to rid myself of the curse of alcoholism. It's signed, Osgood Conklin.
Here we are, Miss Brooks. Dear old Madison High.
I should have known that the Snodgrass Pet Shop doesn't open until 9. What in the world are we going to do with these kittens, Walter?
Gosh, I don't know, Miss Brooks. Mr. Conklin's awfully strict about pets in the building. The only animals allowed are in Mr. Boynton's lab. Oh, say, we could keep them in there until lunch period.
That's right. Then Stretch could take them over to his dad's shop. Come on, Walter, let's take them in. Wait a minute, where are the kittens?
I got them in my sweater pocket. See, here's one.
Meow.
And here's the other one.
Meow.
So much for Maxine and Laverne.
Hello, Miss Brooke.
Hello, Patty. I mean, Harriet.
Hi, Harriet. Well, I gotta run now. I'll talk to you later.
Okay, Walter.
How does your dad feel, Harriet? Are the hiccups gone?
Yes, Miss Brooks. They disappeared about an hour ago. But I'm afraid it isn't permanent. Every time something unpleasant happens, it brings them on again.
Well, maybe this remedy that Mrs. Davis sent down will be of some help. I better take it into him right now.
All right, Miss Brooks. See you in class.
It's me, Mr. Conklin.
Oh, Miss Brooks. Well, they're back.
Who's back?
Hiccup! Does that answer your question?
Maybe you should see a doctor, Mr. Conklin.
Saw a doctor yesterday. Hiccup! Told me to relax and they go away. Relax. Hiccup! What's in that jar you've got there?
It's a hiccup cure that Mrs. Davis asked me to give you. She made it herself.
What's in it?
Nothing but juniper juice, oil of cloves, a dash of vinegar, some vanilla extract, and baking soda.
I'd rather have the hiccup.
Mr. Conklin, if you haven't got anything else handy, maybe you ought to try some of Mrs. Davis's remedy.
Well, I might take just one swallow of the stuff. Give it here.
Well, Mr. Conklin, what does it taste like?
Well, it tastes like hiccup. Like hiccup. Like hiccup. Like.
What's the difference as long as it does the job?
Hiccup.
Miss Brooks, starring Eve Arden, will continue in just a moment. But first, here is Vern Smith. No other dentifrice offers proof of such results. Proof that Colgate Dental Cream helps stop tooth decay before it starts. 2 years research at leading universities using Colgate Dental Cream, hundreds of case histories, makes this the most conclusive proof in all dentifrice history on tooth decay. Conclusive proof that when teeth are brushed with Colgate right after eating, Colgate Dental Cream helps stop tooth decay before it starts. Yes, the toothpaste you use to clean your breath while you clean your teeth now offers a safe, proved way to reduce tooth decay. Modern science shows decay is caused by mouth acids, which are at their worst right after eating. Brushing teeth with Colgate as directed helps remove acids before they harm enamel. Colgate Dental Cream has been proved to contain all the necessary ingredients, including an exclusive patented ingredient for effective daily dental care. Get Colgate Dental Cream today. Big economy size, only 59 cents. Remember, no other dentifrice offers proof of such results, so always use Colgate Dental Cream to clean your breath while you clean your teeth and help stop tooth decay before it starts.
Well, after giving Mr. Conklin an antidote for Mrs. Davis's hiccup remedy, I returned to my classroom and whiled away the hours before lunch by teaching a bit of English. Promptly at noon, I found myself, by the amazing coincidence which occurs daily, at Mr. Boynton's biology lab.
Come in.
Oh, it's you, Miss Brooks. I'm glad you dropped in. Very glad indeed.
Honestly, Mr. Boynton?
I should say so. You've got to get these cats out of here.
Oh. Well, don't worry about that. Walter Denton has asked Stretch to pick them up and take them to the Snodgrass Pet Shop.
Oh, good.
Where are they, Mr. Boynton?
Well, I had to keep them over here in a separate cage, away from the white mice. They were pretty upset.
Cats do that to mice, as a rule.
Well, here they are.
Meow. Meow.
This one loves to be petted. So does this one, for that matter.
Hello, Mr. Boynton. Excuse me, Miss Brooks. I didn't mean to interrupt.
Oh, that's all right, Stretch.
Oh, I don't mind waiting if you want to finish your song.
No, thanks. I don't know the rest of the words anyway.
Are these the cats Walter wants me to take down to the shop?
Oh, that's right, Stretch. You think you can handle them all right?
Oh, sure. I love animals. Gosh, I think animals are smarter than a lot of people of whom I'm acquainted with.
I know they're smarter than some people of whom I'm acquainted with.
Before I take the cats, Mr. Boynton, I'd like to talk to you about a swap. You got a bullfrog in here I'd like to show my dad.
Well, you don't mean my pet McDougal.
Oh, no, sir. I know you wouldn't let Mac out of your sight. I mean this big fella over here. Hiya, boy. Hiya, big fella. You see? He knows me. Say more, fella.
He certainly talks your language.
If you'll let me have him, Mr. Boynton, I'll give you Clarence.
Clarence?
I got him right here in my pocket. There he is.
Snake!
Well, don't be scared. He's perfectly harmless, isn't he, Mr. Boynton?
Oh, yes, of course. It's completely non-poisonous, Miss Brooks. This little creature's a milk snake.
That's right, Miss Brooks. Just a little old milk snake.
Must take a pretty shallow bucket.
Well, he couldn't possibly hurt anyone, Miss Brooks. He's just a baby.
Doesn't prove anything. When I was a baby, I bit people all the time. Take him away, Stretch, please.
Well, yes, Stretch, you keep the snake and take the frog along, too.
Gee, thanks, Mr. Boynton. I'll take awful good care of him.
Don't forget the kitten, Stretch.
Well, I won't. Let's see now. Well, it's a good thing I wore my sport jacket today. I can put the kittens in the side pockets, the frog in an inside pocket, and Clarence in my breast pocket.
Too bad you're not a kangaroo. You could give me a lift to the cafeteria.
Oh, I'm not going to the cafeteria. I got to go to the principal's office and clean it up. Mr. Conklin's expecting some high brass down.
You mean the chandelier's loose?
No, ma'am. The superintendent of schools is coming here. And that reminds me, Mr. Conklin says that you should inspect his office as soon as I get through and see that everything's spick and span.
Me?
That's right, Miss Brooks. Well, I better get going. Thanks for the keen frog, Mr. Boynton.
Oh, you're welcome, Stretch.
See you in a little while, Miss Brooks.
Oh, that's just dandy. Now I won't be able to accept your charming invitation to lunch, Mr. Boynton.
What invitation? Oh, you mean to lunch. Gee, Miss Brooks, maybe you could have a quick lunch with me and then inspect Mr. Conklin's office.
I hate to disappoint you, Mr. Boynton, but that's just what I'm going to do.
There, the last window's clean. Mr. Conklin's office looks neat as a pin. Don't you think so, Miss Brooks?
Let's see. Yes, it looks very nice, Stretch. Mr. Conklin should be very pleased when he gets back from lunch.
Oh, I hope so. Now I'll put my jacket back on and get these animals back to the... Hey, wait a minute. They're gone.
Who's gone?
Everybody. Kittens, the frog, and the snake. They must have crawled out of my pockets when I put my jacket down.
Oh, no. Well, they must be in the office somewhere. We've got to find them before...
Well, let's see how the place looks.
Mr. Conklin.
Ah, you've done a very nice job, Stretch.
Well, thanks, Mr. Conklin,
You can run along now. Miss Brooks, you will stay here and help me find some papers.
Yes, sir.
Oh, but Mr. Conklin...
I've already thanked you, Snodgrass. Now go. Now then, Miss Brooks, I've been trying to locate the semi-annual report I made to the Board of Education 6 months ago. Will you kindly look in the top drawer of my desk while I try the closet here?
Very well, Mr. Conklin.
Meow.
It's not in there.
You hardly looked, Miss Brooks.
I saw enough.
Not in here either. Oh, it must be in this drawer. Let me look for myself. You were right, Miss Brooks. There's nothing in there but a cat. Well, maybe it's in this other drawer. No, just another cat. Well, in that case, I'll simply have... Just another cat! Miss Brooks, what are those two cats doing in my desk?
Maybe they're looking for the report, too. They might have strayed in through an open window, Mr. Conklin. I'll have them removed at once.
Well, see that you do. But first, go look in my filing cabinet.
Yes, sir.
Look under letter B.
Yes, sir. What are you doing in here? You should be filed under F. It's not in here, Mr. Conklin.
Well, it must be somewhere. Let me look. What's in this badge? Let's see. One letter from Boys Town. My Beaver Patrol badge. One communication from the board. One frog. An invitation to the Elks barbecue. Another notice of a board meeting. A letter from... One frog! Miss Brooks, there's a frog hopping around my filing cabinet.
Frog?
Yes, he's jumping all over the place. What will I do, Miss Brooks?
Why don't you hit him with the snake that's crawling on your coat lapel?
That's a good idea. I'll just take this snake and then I'll... Take this snake!
Here, Mr. Conklin, just file him under S.
What's going on here? Miss Brooks, look! Look, this mark on my hand. That snake bit me. I'm poisoned.
Oh, but Mr. Conklin, he
I've
couldn't...
got to be inoculated. Quick, take me to the first aid room.
Now, just sit in that chair and relax for a minute, Mr. Conklin. I'll be right back.
As you say, Miss Brooks.
Well, hi, Miss Brooks. I got all the animals out of Mr. Conklin's office.
Good. For a while there, he thought the snake bit him, but I've convinced Mr. Conklin that the mark on his hand is just a bruise. In fact, I was looking for some rubbing alcohol, but they seem to be out of it in first aid.
Well, I'll get you some over at the gym. But first, I'd like to cheer Mr. Conklin up a bit. Hiya, Mr. Conklin. Let's see your hand.
There. All black and blue.
That ain't nothing at all, Mr. Conklin. The skin ain't even broke. You got nothing to worry about.
Thank you, doctor. There they are again.
Oh, don't worry about them, Mr. Conklin.
I didn't expect you'd be concerned, Miss Brooks.
Well, frankly, after hearing nothing but meow and all day, it's a relief to hear a
Oh, I know a sure cure for hiccups, Mr. Conklin. Now, just sit back in that swivel chair for a minute.
I am sitting back.
Swell. Now the idea is to start spinning you around slowly.
Stretch, stop that.
But never fail.
Stretch, you mustn't spin, Mr. Conklin, like that.
I know, we got to spin him faster.
Oh, no, Stretch.
Let go of me. Stop this at once, you hear me? Hands over. Stop it, I say.
Stretch, stop.
There.
Daddy, I've been looking all over for you.
Who are these girls who just came in?
Me, Daddy. Harriet. Oh, Mr. Michaels is waiting for you in your office.
Oh, thank you, Harriet. Just get up and... Oh, I can hardly stand. I'm so dizzy.
Maybe you ought to spin around the other way for a while.
Well, let me help you, Mr. Conklin.
I'll deal with you later, boy.
Meanwhile, Miss Brooks, you go ahead and tell Mr. Michaels I'll be right there. I'll lean on Harriet and stretch until I feel a little stronger.
So you see, Mr. Michaels, I certainly wouldn't want my boy in a school run by someone who had to come to my firm for assistance.
I'm sure there must be some mistake, Mr. Chalmers. I've known Osgood Conklin for a good many years, and whatever else he may be, he's not the drinking man.
Good day, gentlemen. I'm Miss Brooks. Mr. Conklin will be here in a minute.
I'm Mr. Michaels, Miss Brooks, and this is Mr. Chalmers.
How do you do?
How do you do?
Tell me, Miss Brooks, how is Mr. Conklin feeling these days?
Feeling?
Yes.
Oh, just fine. He's never been better.
Good. You see, Mr. Chalmers, I'm sure that one look at Mr. Conklin will convince you that he's not the type of person who sends postcards to Cure That Habit Incorporated.
Hello, Mr. Michaels. Sorry I'm late.
Let me help you up, Mr. Conklin.
I must have tripped, Mr. Michaels. And who are these gentlemen with you?
These gentlemen are Mr. Chalmers. Shake hands with the one in the middle.
Pleasure to know you, Mr. Chalmers.
Don't look now, but that's Mr. Michaels. Mm-hmm. Here's Mr. Chalmers.
Oh, of course. Glad to shake your hand, Mr. Chalmers.
You're shaking his umbrella.
What seems to be the matter, Mr. Conklin? Having trouble with your vision?
Yes, that's it. I broke my glasses this morning. Well, I'll get over here. Sit down at my desk.
Mr. Michaels, look at him stagger.
Incredible. Miss Brooks, you said Mr. Conklin never felt better.
That's right. You should have seen him an hour ago. Boy, what hiccups.
Hiccups?
Yes. I always get them when I'm startled.
And what, may I ask, startled you?
He opened his desk drawer this morning and saw a cat in it.
Tell me, Mr. Conklin, in which drawer did you see the cat?
Well, the first cat I saw was in this drawer.
In this drawer, Mr. Conklin?
No, there's another cat in there. It was the one in here that startled me.
Would you mind showing us your cats, Mr. Conklin?
Not at all. They're right here in these drawers. They're gone.
They come and they go, Mr. Conklin?
Miss Brooks, where are the cats?
They disappeared right after I took you to first aid. But he really did see them, gentlemen.
Indeed. The next thing you'll be trying to tell us is that he found a bullfrog in his filing cabinet.
How did you know?
Bullfrog, too?
There must be some error here.
Yes, he was filed under B instead of F.
Well, Mr. Michaels, do you believe me now?
Well, I'm afraid I do, Mr. Chalmers. Compton, I don't want to seem unnecessarily cruel, but if you want to stay on as principal of this...
Oh, pardon me, folks. Oh, here's your alcohol, Mr. Conklin.
I'll take it, Stretch.
Miss Brooks, that alcohol is for Mr. Compton?
Yes, it's for where the snake bit him.
Snake?
Yes, of course, it really didn't bite him. He just thought it did.
Oh. So you saw a snake too, Mr. Conklin?
Yes, I did, right on my lapel. Although I'm told he's not poisonous, snakes still give me an extremely unpleasant feeling. I assure you that if I ever see him again, I'll... Wait a minute. There he is under your chair, Mr. Chalmers. Look out. I'll get him, mister. I'll get him. There.
Good for you, Mr. Conklin. You have just killed Mr. Chalmers' umbrella.
Getting out of here. This man is dangerous.
I'll go with you, Mr. Chalmers. As for you, Mr. Conklin, I'll talk to you again when you're sober.
Sober?
Mr. Chalmers here is the head of Cure That Habit Incorporated.
Oh, no.
This card he received yesterday will explain why he called on me this morning. Good day.
Cure This Habit Incorporated? What has that got to do with me? Miss Brooks, read this card for me.
It says, kindly send me all your literature. I am determined once and for all to rid myself of the curse of alcoholism. And it's signed, Osgood Conklin.
Poor soul. Any man who has to resort to writing in for...
Osgood Conklin!
I know you didn't write this postcard because I know who did. But it was only a little Friday the 13th joke, and I'm honor-bound not to mention who did it.
Oh, you are. Well, Miss Brooks, such loyalty is worthy of a better fate than the one under which you are about to crumble. You see, you and I have traveled the road of learning together for some time now. It hasn't always been a smooth road. But it's been our road, Miss Brooks. Now, do you know what's in store for you?
I believe I do, Mr. Conklin. Pass me the rubbing alcohol.
The rubbing alcohol?
Yes, I might as well have one for the road.
As our Miss Brooks returns in just a moment, but first...
Dream girl, beautiful luster cream girl.
Tonight? Yes, tonight. Show him how much lovelier your hair can look after a luster cream shampoo. Luster cream, world's finest shampoo. No other shampoo in the world gives Kay Dumas' magic blend of secret ingredients plus gentle lanolin. Not a soap, not a liquid. Luster Cream Shampoo leaves hair three ways lovelier. Fragrantly clean, free of loose dandruff, glistening with sheen. Soft, manageable. Even in hardest water, Luster Cream lathers instantly. No special rinse needed after a Luster Cream Shampoo. So gentle, Luster Cream is wonderful even for children's hair. Tonight? Yes, tonight, try Luster Cream Shampoo.
Dream girl, beautiful luster cream girl. You owe your crowning glory to a luster cream shampoo.
And now, once again, here is our Miss Brooks.
Well, much to my surprise, Mr. Conklin didn't dismiss me on the spot, but he did insist that I report to his office immediately after school. On my arrival, he told me we were going down to Mr. Michael's office immediately. But, Mr. Conklin, what good will that do?
If you won't tell me who sent that card in, perhaps you'll tell the superintendent of schools. Now, wait, right where you are, Miss Brooks. I'm going to get my hat and coat out of the closet.
Yes, Mr. Conklin.
Hiya, Miss Brooks. Gee, I'm glad Mr. Conklin's not here.
Walter, wait a minute.
Look at this. Here's an ad for another one of those liquor cures I'm going to sign his name to. Boy, I wish I could see his face when he finds out about this one.
I'll bet he'll be positively purple.
Oh, purple isn't the word for it. Old Marblehead will turn all the colors of the rainbow. Oh, 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 oh. Now, Miss Brooks, what should I do now?
There's only one thing you can do. Plead insanity.
Next week, tune into another Our Miss Brooks show brought to you by Luster Cream Shampoo for soft, glamorous, caressable hair and Colgate Dental Cream to clean your breath while you clean your teeth and help stop tooth decay. Our Miss Brooks, starring Eve Arden, is produced by Larry Burns, directed by Al Lewis, with music by Wilbur Hatch. Mr. Boynton is played by Jeff Chandler, Mr. Conklin by Gail Gordon. Others in tonight's cast were Jane Morgan, Dick Crenna, Gloria McMillan, Bill Lally, Leonard Smith, and Francis X. Bushman.
For a beauty bath that brings you glamour from head to toe, get bath-sized Palmolive soap.
Yes, ladies, for a velvet-smooth beauty lather that caresses your skin, leaves your whole body glowing with the warm blush of fragrant loveliness, enjoy a beauty bath with bath-sized Palmolive. It's perfect for your tub or shower. just the gentlest massage over your body creates a glorious lather that leaves your skin delightful.
Yes, for the most luxurious bath you've ever had, get big bath-size Palmolive soap.
For mystery liberally sprinkled with laughs, listen to Mr. and Mrs. North Tuesday evening over most of these stations. And be with us again at the same time next week for another comedy episode of Our Miss Brooks. Bob Lamond speaking. This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.
You have been listening to the Old Time Radio Hour, broadcast each week over the World Wide Web. You can subscribe at no charge through Apple Podcasts, Podbean, or RSS. Thank you so much for listening. We hope you can join us again next week for another hour of entertainment from the golden age of radio. Until then, this is your host, Justine Ward, saying so long for a while.